Mishnah, which is here on Daf Samach Aleph, Omer Aleph, addresses the sugya of Mishpatei Atnoin. The fact that a person can enter into a transaction and he has the ability to create a tnai, a condition. What is the source for condition in the Torah? Who says that I can enter into a transaction and make that transaction dependent upon a tnai? This is derived from the parsha of Bnei Gad uBnei Reuven, which means that when Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar began conquering the land of Sichon, the Og, and then finally they entered, passed over the Yarden to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, and then the land was obviously divvied up amongst the various Shvatim. When they conquered certain lands before they crossed the Yarden, there were lands up north which is called Eretz Gilad. And again, this is on the eastern side of the Yarden. And if you recall, Bnei Gad uBnei Reuven, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, come forward, and they would like to forfeit their portion of the land on the western side of the Yarden for the sake of this piece of land in Gilad on the eastern side, with a claim that this is land that is fitting for their needs. Initially, Moshe Rabbeinu was very hesitant, but finally he agrees. He gives them these lands, but he makes a condition. The land is granted to you on condition that you will go chalutzim, you will be the first to move forward in the military campaign. You'll be at the front lines to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says in Bamidbar Lamed Beis, towards the end, Vayomer Moshe Lehem im Yavru V'nei Gad U'V'nei Reuven Itchem Es HaYarden Kol Cholutz L'Vulchon L'Fnei Hashem V'Nichbush Ha'aretz L'Fneichem U'Nesatem Lehem Es Eretz HaGilad Li'Achuz Ovim Lo Yavru N'Chalutzim Lo Yavru Chalutzim Itchem V'Noach Hazu B'Sochachem Be'Eretz Kanan. Then you will only gain a portion, like all the other Shvatim, in the land of Eretz Canaan on the western side of the Yarden. In other words, here we see that Moshe makes a double tonight. What do I mean by a double tonight? Im Yavru, if you'll go forward, Kol Cholitz L'Vulchama, then Unesatem Lohem Es Eretz Gilad. V'im Lo Yavru, this is the second part of the tonight, the negative side, if you don't go forward, Chalutzim, then Nevach V'Noachazu V'Sochachem B'Eretz Canaan. We're not going to give you Eretz Gilad on the eastern side. You'll have to be satiated with a section like all the other Shvatim on the western side. And that's called the Tnai Kofel. Our Mishnah here on Daf Samach Aleph is going to record a Machlokes Tanoim as to whether or not the requirement of a Tnai Kofel, as we saw Moshe Rabbeinu in the case of Bnei Gad or Bnei Reuven, is an absolute requirement. Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Tanai Sheinu Kofel is Kid Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven Eino Tanai, if he didn't double it over and say, if you're Makayim the Tanai, then the Maisa will be Chal. If you're not Makayim the Tanai, the Maisa will not be Chal. Then it's not a Tanai. And even if there is no Kiyumat Tanai, the Maisa is Kayim. Because the Maisa is Kayim unless there's a Tanai. And if the Tanai is not halachically viable, and it's not acceptable, then we go back to the Maisa being Kayim. And since we saw in the precedent of Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, there was a Tanai Kofel, says Rav Meir, anything less than a Tanai Kofel is not a Tanai at all. The Maisa is Kayim even without the Kiyumat Tanai. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ksiv Ve'im Lo Yavru Chalutzim, that Moshe Rabbeinu said the second half of the Tanai, that if they don't go chalutzim b'nei gad, they will not inherit the land of Gilad. However, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, he says that we should not derive any halachic conclusions from the language, the formulation of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Tanai, and come to the conclusion that every Tanai needs a Tanai kofel. But rather, b'nei gad b'nei Reuven is not the rule, but the exception to the rule. There's a special reason why, in the case of Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven, then Moshe Rabbeinu had to add the words in Lo Yavru Chalutzim, etc., etc. Sarach HaDavar LiOmro, She'el mole kein, if Moshe Rabbeinu had not added these words, vim lo yavru chalutzim, etc., yesh b'mashma shafil b'eretz kenan lo yinchalu. There was a possibility of misinterpreting the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, had he omitted these words, vim lo yavrun, and drawing the conclusion, the mistaken conclusion, that if B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain at the end of the day will not fulfill their commitment to go chalutzim, then they completely forfeit their chelik in Eretz Yisrael, even in the part of Eretz Canaan that's on the western side of the Yarden. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to spell it out explicitly, that what's at stake here is not that they would, if they don't mekam tonight, they would lose and forfeit their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They'll get a chelik in Eretz Canaan, but they will forfeit their specific desire to have monopoly domination over Eretz Gilad. That they won't be able to have if they don't go chalutzim. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to notify them and put the cards on the table. Clearly, says Rabbi Chanina, that they would in fact inherit like any other shevet. And the Gantz Eretz Yisrael will be put into the lottery, and their shvatim will be no different than any other shvat. Now, the Gemara wants to add a piece here, because in the Mishnah itself, we don't find Rabbi Meir countering against the argument of Rabbi Chanina. In other words, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said that there's no proof from Tanai ben Gadavure to draw the conclusion that Tanai Kofel is an absolute requirement. So the Gemara says, Shapir ka'amale Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel or Rabbi Meir. How will Rabbi Meir counter against this very fine argument of Rabbi Chanina? Amale, amalecha Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says that Rabbi Meir would say the following, Isal kedaitach, if your argument is correct, Rabbi Chanina, and the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu added the words v'im lo yavru chalutzim is in order to clarify that point, that they would in any event be guaranteed their rightful portion in the land, is la'ev t'nai kofel hudiyasa, is lichtov, the Torah could have said im lo yavru v'noach hazu b'sochechem. There are two extra words in this pasuk, so claims Rabbi Meir in his argument against Rabbi Chia, his counter-argument, I should say. In this pasuk, it says, Be'eretz Kanaan. Let's, for a moment, bracket the words Be'eretz Kanaan. Let's read the pasuk azoy. Ve'im lo yavru chalutzim itchem v'noach hazu besochechem. And the word besochechem would be sufficient to tell us that they, B'nei Gad u'B'nei Reuven, are guaranteed a chelek with the rest of the Shvatim b'sochachem in the land of Eretz Canaan. Why did the Torah have to add the words the Eretz Canaan? Those two words are superfluous. Lomali, Shmamina l'tnai kafel hudiyasa. Moshe added these words in order to teach us that you must have a tnai kafel. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that if there is no Tnai Kofel, then they would get what they desired, their ownership rights over Eretz Gilad, the complete Eretz Gilad, even without being Mekayim the Tnai, being over Chalutzim. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, he's not impressed. And he says, Ilo Kosa Rachmana B'Eretz Kanan, if it would have just said, V'noach Hazu B'Sochem, without the extra words, B'Eretz Kanan, Hava Amina would have thought, that what is the Torah intending? V'noach Hazu B'Sochem, B'Eretz Gilad, Avol B'Eretz Kanan, Klalo. Perhaps, what we would do is, we would divide up Eretz Gilad, assuming again, that B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven at least, And that we know historically they had done, they had participated in the military campaign to conquer Eretz Gilad, and therefore they would certainly be deserving of a portion in Eretz Gilad, some percentage of Eretz Gilad would be granted to them. Avol be'Eretz Kanaan klalo. If they don't participate in the military campaign and contribute to that campaign in Eretz Canaan proper, they will get absolutely no nachla. The Torah had to add these words, Eretz Canaan, to clarify beyond the shadow of a doubt that even if, in the worst case scenario, B'nei Gad u'B'nei Reuven did not participate and contribute to the conquering of Eretz Canaan, nevertheless, their status will be equal to all the other Shvatim as far as the Goral is concerned to divvy up Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. So they will get a chelik of Eretz Canaan. Bruchato Adinoi Leinu Mechlam Shakol Niyavidvaro. Now, once again, the ball is in the court of Rabbi Meir to counter-argument against the counter-argument of Rabbi Chanina, which is a counter-argument against Rabbi Meir's counter-argument. Is betochachem kol hecha de islechu mashma. Rabbi Meir understands that even even if you bracket the words Eretz Canaan and you just leave it as besochachem kol hecha de islechu mashma, besochachem would mean that whatever nachla the other shvatim get besochachem, they will be besochachem. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven will enjoy the benefits and the rights of the Nachla B'Sochachem together with Eretz Canaan, together with the other Shvatim in Eretz Canaan. There's no need to specify and explicitly mention Eretz Canaan. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa in which Rabbi Chanina's opinion is clarified with a mashal. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Omer Rab Chanina ben Gamliel, Moshe Lamad over Dome. To what can I compare the condition of Moshe Rabbeinu with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven? Li Odom, Shahay Machalik Nechosov Levonov. He was giving out his, allotting his various portions of his possessions to his children. Omar, and he declares, Ploni b'ni yirash sodeplonis, Ploni b'ni yirash sodeplonis, Ploni b'ni yitain masayim zuz v'yirash sodeplonis, v'imlo yitain yirashim echov b'shar nechosov. So let's just quickly review the declaration of this father vis-a-vis his three sons. He says regarding his first son, Reuven will inherit, after I die, the following sod. And he specifies the sod. Shimon, my son, my second son, will inherit Y. You know, sod of Y, we'll call it. And Levi, my third son, will pay 200 zuz to Reuven and Shimon, and he will inherit the third field. We'll call it Z. And then the father said, if Levi, the third son, will not pay Masayim Zuz, then Yirash Im Echov Bishar Nechasim. Those are the five key words. In other words, they will divide up all the other sodos equally. And the Bryson now explains, Mi Garam Lo, we're talking about the Shlishi, Lirash Im Echav Bishar Nechasim. Why is the Shlishi going to get his portion in the Nechasim? And I'm assuming now that means that he will not inherit the third Sada. Let's say the third Sada is a special Sada, whatever it might be. Is Kfelo Garam Lo? Because the father said that he, the third son, we'll call him Levi, will give Masayim Zuz, and then he will inherit the third field. We would have understood logically that if he will not fulfill that condition, then he will have to take his portion as one third in that third sada. And as far as the first two sados, he's completely knocked out of the box. He gets no portion, no percentage of the first two sados, one that was designated for Reuven and the other for Shimon. And if that be the case, perhaps he shouldn't even get the third sada. In other words, he was going to get the third sada because he was going to pay for it with Masayim Zuz. It's possible that if he doesn't pay the Masayim Zuz, then he would be totally knocked out of the first two sados. And he will only get a chilek, let's say a third, in the third sada. He will not receive any chilek whatsoever in the first two sados. Now, it becomes a little bit more complicated here, because there's something called a chilek b'sada shlishis keneged chelko b'shtei sado shenitnu li'echav. What we mean by that is to say that the Levi should also get a certain percentage of the first two sados. There's no reason why, logically, Reuven should get the entire first sada A, and Shimon should get the entire sada B. Shimon and Reuven should have to divvy up, in each case, one third for Levi. But in this case, where Levi did not fulfill his tnai, then there's no chelek that he has in the first two sados. And you would assume that since he has, in other words, had he fulfilled it tonight, he would get a chelek in the first two sados, then there's something, let's say, parallel. Again, I'm using the word parallel right now, but I think we have to find a better word. But there's something similar in value to one third of the first two sados, which is the chelek of Levi in the first sada and the second sada in the third sada. That's called, again, if you get the language here, is chelek b'sada shlishis keneged chelko b'shtei asados shenitnu li'achav. In other words, besides getting one third of sada gimel, of sada three, he should also, in addition to that, get some sort of payback or parallel for his chelek that's coming to him in the first sada and the second sada. But since he wasn't mekayim the tnai, then he only gets his rights as one third of yorshim in the third sada. And those extra major portions in the third sada, which correspond to the chelik of the shlishi of Levi in sada A and sada B, those are completely gone. In other words, Levi forfeits his rights to chelik to sada Aleph and sada Beis by virtue of the fact that he was mevatel the tanai. Now, if there was a tanai kafel, in which case the father spells it out, and he says that if Levi does not fork over 200 sous, then yachlok im echov gam b'shar nechosim. In other words, the purpose of the father, we'll call him Yaakov, adding to the tanai, Vim lo yitain, right? Because again, the positive side is yitain masayim zuz v'yiresh sada plonis. The negative side, and this is always required in a tanai kofel, im lo yitain yiresh v'echo b'shar nechasim, is coming to teach us that if Levi doesn't fork over the 200 zuz, then he does inherit a portion in Shar Nechasim, which means that he gets a chelek. Again, he doesn't actually before get it, but in theory he has monetary ownership over his chelek in the first two sados, which the payback or the substitute of which is going to be in the third sada. Meaning that by not fulfilling the tanai of Masayim Zuz, what happens is he fails to claim exclusive ownership on the third field. He's going to have to give parts of that field to Reuven and Shimon, his older brothers, if you will. But he doesn't have to give them one third each, because again, he has a major chunk of the third sada coming to him as a replacement of the first two sados. That's what we gain by the Tanai Kafel. And in the Nimshal, of Rabbi Hanina, as we apply to Moshe Rabbeinu and B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven, Moshe Rabbeinu gives to 10 out of 12 Shvatim Eretz Yisrael on the western side of the Jordan, right? Similar to the father who gives to his first two sons, Reuven and Shimon, each two sados. And as far as B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven are concerned, Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to give them Eretz Canaan on the condition that they are Chalutzim L'Melchama. In Eretz Gilad, I'm sorry, I meant to say, he's going to give them ownership over Eretz Gilad on the condition that they come Chalutzim in the Melchama of Eretz Canaan, which is sort of parallel in the Mashal to the 200 Zuz, that the third brother, that's Levi, pays to Reuven and Shimon. That's his contribution to Reuven and Shimon. And therefore, we could have understood, perhaps, that if there was no Kiyum HaTnai, meaning if B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, in fact, did not go Chalutzim in the Melchama of Eretz Canaan, they get nothing in Eretz Canaan. And meaning that if each of ten Shvatim gets Eretz, you know, an Eretz of itself, respectively, for its Shevet, there should be some, let's say, 1/12 that goes to B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven. No, they forfeit that 12th portion that they should be getting a substitute, a corresponding portion in Eretz Gilad. The Chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu with this Tnai Kofel, according to Rabbi Hanina, is that by Moshe Rabbeinu adding those extra words for Tnai Kofel, he is telling them that even without a Kiyum HaTnai, they will inherit as two Shvatim their relative portions in Eretz Canaan. Had it not been for that Tnai Kofel, again, keep in mind that Rabbi Hanina wants to say in this particular case there's a unique reason for a Tnai Kofel. You cannot derive universally the requirement of the Tnai Kofel. And the reason here is because, like in the Mashal, we would have entertained the possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that, you know what, in order to gain a portion in Eretz Canaan itself, you have to contribute the Masayim Zuz, which in this case is Chalutzim L'Melchama. If you don't go Chalutzim L'Melchama, then you'll get your relative portion as two Shvatim out of 12 in Eretz Gilad, but you will not get an additional chunk of Eretz Gilad that would correspond to your relative percentage or chelek in Eretz Canaan proper. You have completely cut yourself off from Eretz Canaan. And the Gemara now wants to claim that the Mashal is not accurate. V'holo damya Mashal l'masnisin. In other words, the Mashal itself is not a fair model to clarify what Rabbi Hanina said in our Mishnah. Hasam Kitani, in our Mishnah it says that if there was no Tnai Kofel, Yesh Mashma Shafil B'Eretz Kanan Lo Yinchalu. Which means that if it wasn't a Tnai Kofel, then what we would have concluded, mistakenly concluded, is that without the Kima Tnai, they sort of like reject Eretz Canaan. They're not willing to fight for Eretz Canaan, and therefore they get no portion in Eretz Canaan. And how much more so shelo yinchalu b'Eretz Gilad sheratzu ba? In other words, they are rejecting Eretz Canaan by not going chalutim, and they forfeit their rights to any chelik, even in Eretz Gilad. Alma Kfeila li Eretz Gilad nami mahane. It means that according to Rabbi Hanina's logic in our Mishnah, the significance of a Tnai Kofel is relevant even for Eretz Canaan itself, that they should get a portion of Eretz Canaan, because if not for the Kfeila Satanai, they would get nothing, neither in Eretz Canaan nor in Eretz Gilad. V'hacha k'tani, in the Brice itself of the Mashal, it says, Mi garam lo lirash im echav b'shar nechasim. What would give rights to Levi to claim his relative portion of the sados that were granted, designated for Reuven and Shimon, meaning sada A and sada B, kfelo garamlo. The fact that the father added v'im lo yitain yirashim echav. Alma, we see that when the language of Yirai Shemecha Bishar Nechasim, what is Shar Nechasim? Is Kfeil Shar Nechasim Hudekamahani? The double language of Imlo Yitain is significant and meaningful, such that now Levi, even without the Kimatnai, still could claim his rights to Sados A and B. However, with regard to Sada Gimel, the third Sada, he would have gotten his portion even without a Tnai Kofel. He wouldn't have been cut out completely. His Masayim Zuz is going to give him rights, relative rights, in the first two Sados that were designated for Reuven and Shimon. But there was never a Hava, meaning even without the Tnai Kofel, that Levi would forfeit his rights to the third Sada. We're not going to punish him, in a sense. He's not a rebellious son. And therefore, it would seem that according to the logic of Rabbi Chanina, even in the Nimshal of Bnei Gad, they were certainly guaranteed a portion in Eretz Gilad, even without the Kfeil Satnai, because no matter what they are being stubborn about, I don't know what word to use here, regarding Kibush Eretz Kanaan, but they did participate in Kibush Eretz Gilad, and they have rights to Eretz Gilad. That would make the Mashal appropriate. But Rabbi Chanina and Mishnah seems to assume otherwise, that if not for the Tanai Kofel, the Havamina was that the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven would be cut out completely, even from rights to inherit Eretz Gilad. The Gemara says, Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. Hamakami Dinemalei Rabbi Meir Venochazu, Valabasa Dinemalei Rabbi Meir Venochazu. In other words, Rabbi Chanina and Mishnah, who insists that without Kfeil Satnai, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven would be cut out even from Eretz Kanaan, those words and that logic was presented before Rabbi Chanina told Rabbi Meir Vinochazu, meaning that, and this is sort of like a quote of Rabbi Chanina in his argument against Rabbi Meir, that if the Torah's Kavana was that without a Kima Tnai, they, Bnei Gad u'Bnei Reuven, would inherit with all the other Shvatim, then the Torah could have said, V'noachazu b'tochachem. So again, Rabbi Meir hasn't given yet his argument that if, without the Kiyuma Tnai, the status of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven would equal to all the other Shvatim, it would have been sufficient for the Torah to say, V'nochazu b'tochachem. And Rabbi Chanina thought that according to Rabbi Meir, the Pasuk is telling this Chiddush, that they, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, even without the Kiyuma Tnai, have rights to the land like Shar Shvatim, is then Rabbi Chanina responds by saying that without the Pasuk of V'noachazu b'sochem b'eretz Kanaan, we would have thought that without the Kiyuma Tnai, they get no portion of land anywhere. But Rabbi Chanina, in the Braisa, is Labasar Dinemalei, after Rabbi Meir said to him, V'noachazu b'tochem, it would have been enough to write V'noachazu b'tochachem and leave out B'Eretz Kanaan, and the words of Eretz Kanaan were really coming to teach us the halacha of tonight, the requirement of Tanai Kaful. At this stage, Rabbi Chanina gives his mashal, that just like the Ben Ashlishi, if not for the Tanai Kofel of the father, would only get a portion in the third Sadeh, so too, if not for the fact that the Torah added B'eretz Knan, B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruven, would have inherited only B'tochachem, which means B'eretz Gilad. The Torah has to add B'eretz Knan to tell us that the status and the rights of B'nei Gad U'B'nei Ruven in Eretz Gilad is not limited, or are not limited, to that 1/12 for each of the two Shvatim of Eretz Gilad, but rather they include a much larger portion, namely a comparable portion to the portion that they were worthy, what word am I looking for, that they that they had rights to, legal rights to, in Eretz Canaan proper. Meaning they have rights to inherit Eretz Canaan itself. So just to summarize, the issue here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina is the addition of the two words B'Eretz Canaan. Whereas Rabbi Chanina understands that B'Eretz Canaan is needed not for a general halacha and as a source for Tanai Kofel, but rather B'Eretz Canaan is telling you that in Gilad, if there's no Kima Tanai, they have rights to a larger portion than 1/12. They have rights to get a comparable portion to their 1/12 of Eretz Canaan, so they'll get an expanded Nachla or section of Eretz Gilad. And that's something that we know from the words Eretz Canaan, because they don't forfeit their rights to Eretz Canaan by not going out to Milchama. Again, sorry about the double negative. They still, even after being guilty of not joining the battle and the campaign for Eretz Canaan, they still are worthy and they still possess legal rights to Eretz Canaan, which will now maybe be cashed in by an expanded section in Eretz Gilad. They will not actually implement their rights in Eretz Canaan, but they'll get monetary compensation, so to speak, by getting a comparable land in Eretz Gilad, and all that we learn from the addition of the Eretz Canaan. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, thinks that v'noach hazu b'tochem is enough to clarify that they have rights b'tochem in Eretz Canaan, and the fact that they refuse to go chalutzim chama, that doesn't cut them out of Eretz Canaan. The sugya now is going to analyze other places in the Torah where we find Tanai Kofel, and Bishleim Rabbi Meir, we understand why the Torah requires a Tanai Kofel, but according to Rabbi Chanina, since Tanai Kofel is some sort of an exception to the rule, we have to justify it in every single case. For example, Hainu Dechsiv, we understand according to Rabbi Meir very well that when Hashem spoke to Cain after Cain was guilty of murdering Hevel, and he said, "Im Tetiv says v'im lo Tetiv lefesa chatos rovets," which means that you will be, if you don't do tshuva, you will suffer a punishment. So then, it's very good because according to Rabbi Meir, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not kofel the Tanai in a very explicit way, by saying im lo teitiv lefesach chatos rovets, then we would have said that even if he doesn't mend his ways, is nevertheless, he can still get schar, because a tnai she'enu kofel is not mevatel lematana. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying im teitiv, Se'es, the word Se'es means you will receive a reward. So there's a Maisa here, so to speak, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a reward to Kayin, which he deserves because of Tetiv. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers through that Maisa of Nesina of Schar, of Se'es, then that's an absolute unconditional gift to Kayin in this case. So therefore, the Torah had to be kofel tonight to say, no, im lo totiv, then you forfeit the seis. El Rabbi Chanina says no, that we can apply the principle of Michlal Heina Tashoveh Lav. We don't need a Tanai Kofel. It's lovely. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to say Lo Tativ? The very fact that he said Im Tativ, then says, we understand that we can derive the conclusion that Lo Tativ Lo says. Salke Daitachamina Im Tativ Agra. We might have thought the following, that when the Torah says imtativ, if you rectify your ways, you do tshuva, agra, you'll get rewarded in a positive sense. If you don't do tshuva, then you know what? You're in limbo. On the one hand, you're not going to be rewarded. On the other hand, you're not going to be punished. And therefore, the Torah had to add lepesach chatos rovetz here to tell us that it's not just an option that I'm offering you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kain. If you want to avail yourself of the opportunity to do tshuva, fine. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying you are an absolute must do tshuva, and if you don't do tshuva, you're going to be punished. Another case, this is the case of Eliezer, the Eved Avram, when he takes a wife for Yitzchak, is Bishleim Rabbi Meir, Haynu Dixiv. We understand that when Avram Avinu sends Eliezer on his mission, and he forced, he imposed an oath on Eliezer Eved Avram that he should not take a wife for Yitzchak from Bnos Knan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this Shavua is conditional, which means he should not go. So there's a Tanai Kofel here that's going to support Rabbi Meir. What's the Tanai Kofel? It says, Oz Tinoke, Tinoke Meir Lossi, V'im Lo Yitnu Lecha, V'ayisa Noki Meir Lossi. Right, is oz tinoka me alasi. We'll see it in the psukim. We're talking about Breishis Chavdal, psukim lamed zayin to mem aleph. There's a whole section here in the Torah about the shvuah of Avraham Avinu, and in the shvuah it says oz tinoka me alasi. Let's just find those words here. Yeah. It says the following. Vayomer Eli, Hashem Asher Salachti Lefonecho, Lefonov, Yishlach Malocho, Itcho, Vitzliach, Darkecho, Volakachta, Isha, Libni, Mimishpachas, Mimishpachti, Beis Ovi, is Oz, Tinoka, Me Olasi. In other words, if Hashem will be matzliach your derech, your endeavor, and you will go back to my father's house, and you'll find a wife for my son, then tinoka me'alosi. And then in the next part of the pasuk, it says, im ki tavo el mishpachti v'im lo yitnu l'cha v'yisa noki me'alosi. Which sounds like a Tanai Kofel. Im lo yitnu lecha is vayisa naki me'alasi. So Rabbi Meir works out well here. And why is that? Because if not for the extra negative side, the Tanai Kofel side of im lo yitnu lecha vayisa naki me'alasi, then the shvu would be chal on Eliezer, even if he would be Mekayim the Tanai. And that might mean that Eliezer would be able to, in other words, if they refuse to give, if he goes to the Beis Avi and they refuse to give in this case, Rivka, to marry Yitzchak, then Eliezer would be clear to marry to find a girl from Bnos Knan. That was the Hava Mina. Because we would have said that if they give you if they give you their daughter to marry my son, then Oz Tinoka Me'alasi. But since there's no negative side they would say that if they don't give a daughter for my son, then the whole deal is off. El Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, he applies the principle of Michal Heina Tashmeh Lav. Lomeli, why did Avram have to say Im Lo Yitnu Lecha? Is then Vehayisa Naki Me'alasi? The whole Shvuah was if he doesn't go to Mishpachas Avram, and we can understand from that that if he goes to Mishpachas Avram, then he's potter from the Shvuah. Itzrich. The Gemara says, Salka daita chamina, hecha de nichole, nichola lidi da, velo nichola le lidi dehu. If she herself is willing to marry Yitzchak, but the B'nai Mishpach are not willing to allow that, is Maisi Bal Karcha. Eliezer would have to be, by virtue of the Shvuah, he would have to take this girl against the will of the family. And if he doesn't do so, then the Shvuah will be Chalim, Kamash Malon. That's why Avraham Avinu was compelled to add, Oz Tinoke Me'alasi Vim Lo Yitnu Lecha Ve'ayisa Naki Me'alasi, that if the B'nai Mishpacha don't agree to give their daughter or their relative, their sister for marriage, then you're completely Naki from the Shvuah. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.